Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Tzati Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we had learned a Mishnah and a Brisa Tanaic source that followed that described the type of garment that will be chayev in kibbutz. The Tanaic source that we had just completed featured a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar regarding the issue of a beged that's roi lekabel tuma. As we look on in our Gemara, we will notice a series of diamonds. This is one of our series markings, and on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading, you'll notice we featured a diamond and a comment that we've written in to serve as a title of the sugya and an explanation of the structure. We've written in Hezberim Lemahu beged sheroi lekabel tuma, avol ka'es eino mekabel tuma. We're going to see descriptions of articles of clothing, if you will, that right now are potentially fit for receiving ritual impurity, but currently do not absorb tuma. In general, in order for a kli to be mekabel tuma, it has to be something that's useful. In our sukkah, we're going to be talking about elements or articles of clothing or that which is about to become clothing that is right now not in the position to mekabel tuma, but it has the potential. That will be the point of difference between these two opinions that we saw in the Tanaic source at the conclusion of our previous shiur. So the Gemara now asks, the fourth line from the top, my binayhu. What is the difference? What is the point of difference or the underlying point of controversy between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda? More accurately, we'll see this question answered through examples. Omar Abaye, Matlis Pusa Mishalosh Iko Binayo. A matlis is a piece of fabric that's less than 3 by 3 will be the point of difference between them. 3 by 3 being a dimension. Man di Omar Roy, someone who says that it's sufficient, that it's potentially able to makabel tuma, to receive tuma, then honami roi di boi choshev alei. Something that's less than 3 by 3, if one has an intention to use it, let us say, to attach to an existing garment. So this piece of fabric, being that he has given it chashivus, he attaches importance to it in the context of attaching it or affixing a garment with it, that enables it to makabel tuma. Mandam or davar makabel tuma, the only way that there will be a din of kibus is if the blood of the korban chatas falls on something that is currently able to absorb tuma. Ha miha, this thing, however, this matlis pusa mishalosh, this matlis that's less than 3, lav bas kibulei tumahi, it's not subject to receiving tuma in and of itself. It's lacking the minimum dimensions. Rava Omar, notice we are calling Rava in the little space immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, number 2, with an aleph. A few lines later, you'll notice a beis. That signals a second version of Rava. And you'll see in the middle of that line, between the lines, it's written in Ikar D'Amri, a second version. So the first version of Rava is Rava Amar Beged Shechishev Olav Litzayroi Ika Binayu, a garment that the maker, the manufacturer of it, intended to add before actually wearing it, intended to add decorations to it. Litzayro to add could be painting the garment or add embroidery to the garment, and before that he doesn't plan to use it. So the question is, what is the status of a garment where the manufacturer intends to add something of a decorative nature? Mandama roi, honami roi, the one who says that a beged is subject to kibbutz as a result of the blood of the sacrificial blood landing on it, that it's sufficient for the garment to be categorized as roi lekabel tuma, fit, potentially ready, able to receive tuma. Honami roi, this garment has that description to it. The e boi mivatel leila machshavase, the maker of it can cancel his intent. He can decide, you know what, I want to wear the garment as is. So the garment which you see in front of you as is fit for use, and as a result of that, it's mekabel, will be mechuyev in kibbutz if blood lands on it. The sacrificial blood, that is. Man domar dovar hamekabel tuma, hashtami olav bas kibuli tumahi. However, if you hold like Rebbe Elazar, who says it has to be something that, the garment has to be something that right now is capable of receiving tuma, this garment that currently is with the intention of adding decorations to it, so in its current state, it's not mekabel tuma because the final stage has not been done to it yet. Ikar d'amri, another version of Rava Omar, utzva d'choshiv alo lekatsa ikar binayu. Its utzva is a piece of leather. After the animal is skinned, the skin could be used for a, we'll call it an eating surface, a type of makeshift mat for eating, or for covering a table with it. So if he has this piece of leather, we'll call it, and he intends to cut it, to shape it, to reduce its size. That's the concept of lekatsa, to cut it down, to reshape it or change its size. So he has this utzva that he does have this intention to lekatsa. Mandomo roi, ha nami roi. If one's standard for chiyuv kibbutz is something that's simply roi lekabel tuma, this utzva, this piece of leather, if he decides not to cut it down or trim it any further, so this thing as is, if he exercises that change of mind, it's roi, it would be mekabel tuma. Therefore, as it is right now, there will be a chiyuv kibbutz because it's roi lekabel tuma in the event that he would change his mind. Man domar dovar mekabel tuma. One who says, Rabbi Elazar, who says that the chiyuv kibbutz is only on something that currently is mekabel tuma. This utzva, however, ha lav mekabel tuma ad demekatzalei. It's not going to mekabel tuma until he trims it. And as long as he hasn't trimmed it, and he hasn't changed his mind, so just because he has the potential of changing his mind, that's not sufficient, according to this particular opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, to mechayev it, to obligate it in kibbutz. The Hatanya, this is a Tanaic source that is brought in as support to this analysis. Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe Omer, Utzva Shechishva Lekatsa, Tahoiro Achiatsieno. And Utzva, this is that piece of leather that we just described, that the owner of which intends to trim it, is Tahoro, means it's not Mikabel Tuma until he trims it or until he changes his mind. So we see from this Tanaic source that the utzva in this particular state is something that's considered incomplete. And as a result of that, according to these Tanoim, it won't be mechuyev in kibus, and it's not considered roi lekabel tuma. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda would say that since through a switch in mind, it could become considered complete, that's sufficient for it to be mechuyev in kibus. Ein ton kibus ela mokum hadam. That's what the Mishnah said, that the requirement of kibbutz is not the entire garment, but rather the spot on which the blood fell. Minohani mili detona rabbonon. What is the source for this? So we have a Tanaic source that shows us where the Mishnah learns that ein ton kibbutz elamokam adam. Yochol nitaz al mikzas beged yekol beged ton kibbutz. Could it be that if the sacrificial blood landed on part of the garment, the entire garment would be requiring kibbutz? Talmud lomar asher yazeh. That's a quote from the pasuk. Asher yizeh. Lo amarti loch elo mokom dam vilvad. The chiyuv is only where the spot, is only the spot on which the blood landed. Dovo shu roi lekabel tuma v'chulei. This phrase was found in the latter part of the Mishnah. You'll notice if you look back on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, there was a section in the middle of the Mishnah where it said Eino Ton Kibus Ela Mokam Adam V'Dova Roy LeKabel Tuma. That was in our marked Mishnahs. That was labeled number 2. So that expression of Dova Roy LeKabel Tuma Stama Karebi Yehuda, that's an unnamed section of the Mishnah, that's what the term Stama means, which echoes the opinion of Rebi Yehuda, whom we saw in the Tanaic source at the bottom of Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. That's the sugya we were describing today in the beginning of our shir, the difference between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda was the shita that held that it's sufficient if it's roi, that has the potential of absorbing tuma. V'roi l'kibus. This phrase also comes from the Mishnah, and you can see with the arrow that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which indicates Tzadi Gimel and Beis, and you'll look back at Tzadi Gimel and Beis and find an arrow also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Tzadi Dalet Omed Aleph. And you'll see that the Mishnah mentioned that the Chiyuv Kibus is only on something that is roi lekibus, fit for being washed. Mute, this is to the exclusion, the mute kli, the bar greda hu, to the exclusion of a vessel that, let us say, a spot of dam or a droplet of sacrificial blood landed on an earthenware vessel and it stained the vessel. How would you get the blood out of that? Well, you'd have to scrape it off. That's greda. Scraping it off. The Torah doesn't require that kind of vessel to be subjected to kibbutz, because that's not the way that you cleanse vessels that became soiled with blood. They are sanded down or scraped off. Hence, the din kibbutz does not apply to them. Echad ha-beged, ve'echad ha-sak, ve'echad ha-or, ta'unin kibbutz. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us glance to the outside margin. We have a topic heading, a nosei. The nosei is or ha'im hu bar kibus, leather. Is it something that the term kibus is appropriate for? Kibus is in general, you could translate it as washing, as in washing of clothing. But the question is, the issue is that it's also kibbutz also represents a certain halachic category. There's certain details that apply or that could be descriptive of kibbutz, with which we will be able to evaluate is the process of, let us say, subjecting a piece of leather to water and what we call in English, you call washing it off, is that necessarily called kibbutz in a legal sense. So there are several points that the Gemara will feature. Mishnosenu, nitaz dam chatos al or. The Mishnah mentioned the issue of a droplet of sacrificial sin offering blood that lands on a piece of leather. Kar shel or b'shabbos. We'll talk about a pillow made of leather with regard to Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, there are numerous malachas that are prohibited, 39 in total. And amongst the different malachas Shabbos is the issue of washing clothing. And the question that will be dealt with in the Gemara is the washing of a leather item in the connection of Hilchos Shabbos. And a third point that we'll see featured in the Gemara is Nega Tzoras Ba'or. Tzoras, the discoloration that appears in garments. What happens if the Tzoras discoloration appears in leather? With regard to the structure of the sugya, we'll be using several different markings as we go along. You'll notice a volcano-shaped marking. This marking represents Makshim Mehamishna B'Shabbos. The Gemara will ask on the conclusion that we reach from learning our Mishnah, which suggests that Or is a Bar Kibbutz, from a source in Masechah Shabbos, B'inyan Korim Shel Or, regarding pillows made of leather, D'mashma Misham, it will seem from there in Shabbos, the Or Eino Bar Kibbutz, that Or is not subject to the activity known as kibbutz, and hence it would be allowed to be done on Shabbos, because that which is prohibited on Shabbos is called kibbutz. That's not the formal name of the malacha, but that's the action that we will be discussing. And we know there's a given in our sugya that kibbutz is an action that's prohibited to be done on Shabbos. We can call it a tolda of libun. It's an outgrowth of one of the formal Melechah Shabbos. So in our Mishnah, on the one hand, you see that or, if blood, sacrificial blood lands on it, it's subject to kibbutz. On the other hand, in Masechah Shabbos, if you see, and we'll see a source that suggests you can apply water to a leather pillow on Shabbos, that would indicate that or is not subject to kibbutz. Because if it were, you would not be allowed to do it on Shabbos. After presenting the contradiction or the stira, we should note that the Gemara will do that, the stira from Shabbos, pretty much at the beginning of the sugya that we are about to learn. And you'll see a little aleph to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text featured in this trapezoid volcano shape. And if you skim down to the bottom of the page, you'll see a second one, where Rava introduces his version, or his problem, with regard to our Mishnah. In the course of the Gemara, you'll see a bow tie form. After the question from Shabbos is raised, you'll see Tshuvoisam Shel Abaye V'Rava, the answers of Abaye and Rava. Lakushya Mehamishna B'Shabbos Binyin Korim Shel Or. Roim d'or la bar kibbutz. Umeidach b'mishosenu roim d'or bar kibbutz. So we'll see answers Abaye and Rava will provide with regard to this issue of our Mishnah on the one hand and the Mishnah and Shabbos on the other hand. Let us turn to the Gemara. L'meimra, after having said in our Mishnah that or needs kibbutz if sacrificial blood lands on it, this suggests the or bar kibbutzu. Such, thusly, it's mashma from the Mishnah that the or is subject to kibbutz. Viraminu, we raise a contradiction. Hoysa olav lishleshes. Olav, there was on it, on a car, on a pillow, some dirt. Mikancha besmartut. If there was dirt on a fabric pillow, so you can wipe it off with a rag. Hoysa shel or, if the pillow was made of leather, noisein oleo mayim ad shetichle, you can apply water to it until the dirt goes away. We see from here that or is not bar kibus, because if it were, the application of water would be prohibited. So the fact that on Shabbos we're allowing water to be applied to this leather pillow, it shows us that the leather is not subject to kibbutz. It's important to emphasize, as we mentioned before, that in learning in general, it's important not to get restricted to literal translations, because if you translate the word kibbutz, you're going to come out with the word washing. But what we're talking about is a legal category of kibbutz. Kibbutz representing a type of meleches Shabbos. So if we're allowing water to be applied to the leather pillow, it shows us that the process of kibbutz is not something that is accomplished when dealing with leather. And hence, when it comes to Shabbos, it will be allowed. Well, we have a problem, though. From our mission, it seems that or is subject to kibbutz, and from Shabbos, it sounds like it's not. Omra by lo kashya, since there's no contradiction. Horabonon ho achirim. The two Tanaic sources represent two different Tanaic opinions, one of the Rabbonon and one of the achirim. Disanya, we have a Tanaic source that features the issue of dam chatos, the blood of a sin offering. Habeged vasak mechapsoi. Beged is standard fabric, and sak is fabric made of goat's hair. Mechapsoi. Hakli va'or megaro. A vessel or leather, and we've dashed underlined leather, the word or, that's the focus of our current discussion. Megaro, you scrape it off. Then the reason for that is because this opinion, this is the opinion of the Rabbanan, hold that or is not bar kibbutz, so they don't have to do the washing with water process. Achirim oimrim, habeged v'hasak v'ha'or mechabsoi v'akli megaro. Here, or is treated differently than the first opinion. Or is under the heading of mechabso, and you can see with the markings how we've used an appropriate highlighting for this point, that or is subject to kibbutz. Only the kli is scraped off, the vessel, megaro. So Abaye has offered his resolution to the problem. We encounter now a section of Gemara that you see in brackets. The Gemara bracketed section, you can see the length of this by glancing at the length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a vertical dash dotted line taking you to the second line from the bottom, at which point at the end of that line, the bracketed section is closed. And after that, you notice, Omar Rava, I kashya li ha kashya li. Rava feels that the issue that Abaye raised, or the issue that was raised, that Abaye answered, isn't an issue that's difficult to be resolved. However, Rava will present his problem, so to speak, and then offer an answer to the problem that he raises. Let's glance at the note that we have on the inside margin concerning this bracketed section. Matrasa Sograyim, the purpose of the brackets here, Litzor, to create a retzef, a sense of continuity, B'tshuvasim shel Abaye v'Rava, Bamid Beis, L'stira bein Mishnasenu v'Mishna b'Shabbos. The note continues, B'socha Sograyim, Rava makshe al tshuvas Abaye. Within this bracketed section, Rava will raise a question on Abaye's answer. U'misyaches l'machloikis tanakama v'chir b'braiso shevi Abaye. And Rava will turn his attention to the machlokis between the Tanakam and the Cherem that Abaye brought, the source that we just finished learning, the gam masbir hapasuk binyan saras sheboi muska or kedar kibus. And Rava will also explain the pasuk that's quoted in the context of saras, in which or is mentioned as a bar kibus. So let us now turn to the Gemara itself in the bracketed section, realizing that Rava will be presenting his version or his resolution of the discrepancy between our Mishnah and Shabbos in his own words later on. In the meantime, the Gemara says, Keman Azlo Hod Yomer Abchiyo Bar Ashi. Based on whom did Rav Chiyo say over the following? Zinnin Sagin Havokim no Kame de Rav. Rav Chiyo Bar Ashi tells us that many times, that's Zinnin say many times, I was in the presence, I was standing in front of Rav on Shabbos. V'shachshichi lei misane b'maya. And I washed his shoes on Shabbos with water. Shachshichi would be a process of removing dirt from Rav's shoes on Shabbos with water. And of course, we're understanding that shoes are made of leather. Come on. So, who would allow that? Who would say that Or is not a bar kibus? Kerabonon. As far as Abaye is concerned, that would be like the Shitas Arabonan that we saw five lines up from here that said, Ha'or Megaroi. Omar Rava, Umi Iko Lamad Omar, or Lav Bar Kibutu? Rava says, could it be that there's any opinion that holds that Or is not Bar Kibus? Vaksiv, we have a pasuk that says, "V'habeged o ashti o erev o kol kli or asher techabes." So we see in this pasuk, and we've dashed underlined the keywords or and techabes. So we see that or is subject to kibus. The pasuk that we just read, one should realize, is in the context of tsaras. Elo Omar Rava. We see a diamond over here, and before we go on in the sugya, let's take a look at the side under our Nosei heading. Kushyas Rava al Tshuvas Abaye. We're experiencing Rava's question on Abaye. The Omar Abaye had said Lefi Chachomim or Eino Bar Kibus. That's what Abaye said. And that's a problem. Dare royim me'aposuk b'nin tzaras, d'or bar kibus. We see from a posuk, which is a very strong source, that or is a bar kibus. The diamonds are under our mivneh heading, shlovim shel divrei rova b'inyan or b'tzaras. We're going to see stages in understanding rova with regard to leather in the context of tzaras. So in the meantime, let's just go over the point we just raised. Rava asks on Abaye and says, how can you present a Tanaic opinion that would suggest that Or is not a bar kibus when the pasuk says otherwise? Elo Omar Rava. Kro umasnisin. The pasuk by tzaras and the Tanaic source with regard to the blood of a sin offering, both of these psukim categorize, both of these sources, the Kro and the Masisin, categorize the Or as a bar kibus. That's berakin, soft leather. Ki pligi, bekushin. The Tanei controversy that we saw above with regard to the dam chatos between the Achirim and the Rabbonon was talking about hard leather, tough leather. So if you're dealing with tough leather, so you'll see that the Tanakam would hold that it's not a bar kibus, and the Cherem will say that even so, it is a bar kibus. The question, though, V'omar Rav Chiya, but we saw Rav Chiya bar Ashi before that said Zimnin Sagin Avkin Kamei de Rav. I was numerous times in the presence of Rav on Shabbos. And I washed his shoes with water. And there's an assumption in this question that the shoes are made of soft leather. And we just got finished saying, according to Rava, that the sources that indicated that Or was a Bar Kibbutz was dealing with Rakin. Now, if we assume that the shoes of Rav were Rach, so how in the world could Rav Chiya subject them to water? The Gemara answers, Bekushin, Ukirabonan. No, he says the shoes, Rav's shoes, were made of hard leather, and hard leather, according to the Rabbonan, hold that Or Kosha is not a Bar Kibbutz, and hence one could subject them to water. So that Rav Chiya bar Ashi was basing his behavior, his action of washing Rav's shoes, on Shitas HaRabbonan. Hodar Omar Rava. Rava turned around and said, Lav Milsahi Diamri. He's rejecting the explanation that he just gave. And why is he rejecting his explanation? His explanation, just to review the point, was that the pasuk in the Torah that deals with Saras, which indicated the Or was Bar Kibbutz, Rava said that was talking about Rakin, soft leather. Rava is unhappy right now with his teretz. Neku neimole lakro. Should we get up and say that the pasuk of Tzoras, the chiksivon berakin ksivon, that it's written only with regard to soft leather? The pasuk doesn't indicate any qualification. The pasuk writes or stam in an unqualified fashion. Milo askinon bekli ach salgia haboy milsayam. Are we not talking in the case of the tzoras about these types of vessels or garments, kli achsalgio? Those are a type of leather material that's hard, that come from abroad, imported leatherware, if you will, and they're considered hard. The Ka'am Rachmana, the pasuk, is telling you, when it says that the Or is subject to Kibbutz, is including these things, and says Niboy Kibbutz. The pasuk is saying that they are subject to Kibbutz. So, to say it to say this point again, Rav is saying, I can't possibly restrict the unqualified pasuk to one type of leather alone. The pasuk was stated, as far as Tzoras is concerned, it mentioned that the Or is a Bar Kibbutz, and it stated it in an unqualified fashion, indicating that all kinds of Or are Bar Kibbutz, including Kushin. Elo Omar Rava. This is now the second stage of Rava's analysis. As far as Tzoras is concerned, he says, Tzoras, kiva de migufe koparcha, since the Tzoras emerges from within the article of clothing itself, within the leather itself. So even if the leather starts off as cushion, mechalchilo le umashvi le rach, it penetrates it, and the Tzoras penetrates it and softens it. Therefore, In the case of Tzoras, all Or will have a din of Rach. That's as far as Tzoras is concerned. Omar, maybe we should just review what have we seen till this point. We saw, up till this point, a stira between Maseches Shabbos and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah indicated that Or was a Bar Kibbutz. In Maseches Shabbos, we saw that Or was not a Bar Kibbutz. Abaye said that these two sources represent a Machlokes Tanoyim. Rava, on the other hand, said that you don't have to set up the two sources as a machlokes tanoim, but wherever you see or described as being a bar kibbutz, it's talking about rakin. Where you see or as not a bar kibbutz, it's talking about kushin. It just so happens that in the context of kushin, there is a machlokes tanoim, where the rabbanon hold kushin is not a bar kibbutz, and the Acherim hold it is, and it's based on Shitas Rabbonon that Rav Chiya Bar Ashi rinsed off Rav's shoes on Shabbos. Omar Rava, I kashyali ha kashyali. If I have any trouble or difficulty, it's from the following. Korum uksosois derakin ninhu. The pillows and mattresses that are made of leather are soft. Utnan, and it says in with regard to Shabbos, hoiso al shel or, if there was dirt on a leather pillow, no sein oleo mayim ad shetichle. You'll notice that this is a quote from the source that opened up our sukya, where the Mishnah from Shabbos was cited, and we have little arrows to indicate where on Omid Aleph you can find this particular quote. That's by looking at the arrow to the immediate right left hand side of the Gemara text and glancing back to Omid Aleph, also to the left hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see where this quote comes from. So up till this point, up till the Kasha that Rava is raising, Rava had said that when you see or described as a bar kibbutz, you're talking about rakin. And when you're talking about or as being a non-bar kibbutz, you can categorize that as kushin, according to some opinions. However, the Mishnah in Shabbos poses a problem for Rava's teretz. Rava wanted to say that, well, if it's rakin, it certainly will be categorized as a bar kibbutz. If that be the case, then how can the Mishnah in Shabbos, which describes the pillow, which is rakin, and it says you can apply to it water? Elo Omar Rava. Kol kibbutz deles le kiskus loy shmei kibbutz. Any kibbutz that doesn't have with it a rubbing of the garment as well, in other words, in addition to the application of water, when will it be kibbutz? Only if after the water is applied is the garment rubbed. That's kiskus. The Hod Yomar of Chiya Bar Ashi, Zimnin Sagiyin Havakim the Kameda Rav Shachshifile Mesane Bemayo, Shich Shuchin Avokiskus Lo. And that which Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said, that he was many times in front of Rav, and he cleansed Rav's shoes, he added, he put water on Rav's shoes, thereby removing the dirt. He did it by Shich Shuch, by shichshuch in avo kiskus lo. We should be a little more accurate with our description. We mentioned kiskus having to rubbing the garment. There's a situation where one takes a garment, let's say takes two sides of the garment, holds each side in each hand and rubs the two sides of the garment one on the other. That's a type of rubbing of the garment in and of itself, if you will. One piece of the garment rubbing it on the other side of the other piece of the garment. That's kiskus. So Rava says that any kibbutz that doesn't have that done to it, that is not called kibbutz. What happened with the case of Rav's shoes and Rav Chiya Bar Ashi? So water was applied. He may have rubbed off, after putting the water, he rubbed off the dirt from the shoe, but he didn't rub the shoe in and of itself. Take two parts of the shoe or the two shoes and rub them one on the other. That's what the Gemara means when it says shichshuch in. That's the rubbing off of the dirt, but kiskusi lo, but not rubbing one shoe on the other. So e berakin, if that which he did not do kiskus was talking about soft leather, then uchadivrei hakol, according to all opinions, you would have to avoid doing the kiskus. Let's say this again. If we're talking about shoes made of soft leather, so his Rav Chiya Bar Ashi's restraint from kiskus was because they were soft, and that's according to all opinions. According to all opinions, if it's soft, though you may apply water to it, you cannot do kiskus. Ibekoshin, if Rav's shoes were hard leather, and Rav Chiya Bar Ashi restrained himself from doing kiskus, that restraint was because he was choshish for uke achirim. He was choshish for the shita of the achirim. Because according to the Tanakama, with regard to kashin, you would be allowed to do even kiskus. Ihachi beged nami. If that be the case, that kibus is not called kibus unless there's kiskus, so you could use the same standard of apply water without kiskus and deal with a beged as well. Not only or, why does the Tana say that in the case of beged, you simply wipe it off with a rag? This we saw in the source on Omen Aleph that opened up this section where the first volcano form appeared. In that source it says that if you had on the pillow made of beged some dirt, it's in mekancha besmartut. Only if it was made of ore did the source say you can apply water. If, however, as Rava says, that kibus is not kibus unless there's kiskus, then even with regard to fabric, there should be an allowance for putting water on it. The Gemara answers, the standard that we described above with regard to kibus doesn't apply to a beged, because beged, when you're dealing with fabric, shriyoso zehu kibuso, the mere soaking of it in water accomplishes kibus. This is not the case with leather. We don't say there that the mere soaking accomplishes kibus. When it comes to leather, kibus would be accomplished only if you did kiskus as well. Rava letame. Rava is consistent with what he said elsewhere. D'omar Rava, zorak sudor lemayim chayov. If one tossed a piece of a cloth into water, he is in violation of Hilchus Shabbos. Zorak zera pishton lemayim chayov. If he threw flax seeds into water, he is in violation, and that will be explained briefly in the Gemara. So Rava makes two points here. We've dashed underlined the main point for the sugya up till now, namely that fabric is subject to kibus by mere soaking of it in water. We have a bracketed section, and if we look at the note on the inside margin, the note says, Achreya Sograyam, Agamora Mamshicha Binyan Kibus Or. After the brackets, the Gemara will go back to the topic of kibus in the context of leather. Besorcha Sograyam, Agamora Mivareres, Hod Osa Rava Lizrog Pishtun Bemayim Beshabbos. The Gemara will deal with this side topic of flax seeds thrown into water, where Rava said that that's also forbidden on Shabbos. So let's now look at the bracketed section itself. Bishlamo sudar of the kibus. I understand that Rava's point with regard to throwing the fabric, the cloth, into the water, throwing it into the water accomplishes kibus, and hence its usur is forbidden on Shabbos. Elo zera pishton mai taimo. What is the prohibition of throwing flax seeds into water? V'chitemo mishum de mikdach. if you'll say the problem there is that you're going to cause it to sprout, which is another type of Shabbos prohibition, well, then ihachi chiti v'sairinami. Then the law should apply equally to wheat and barley kernels as well. Why does Rava say his halacha, his second halacha, only with regard to flax seeds? The Gemara answers, Hanach is lehu riri. The problem with the flax seeds is that they have a type of that emission that comes forth from them, a type of slime that exudes from them, and they get stuck together. Well, ihachi shlochim nami. If that be the case, then this is true with regard to leather as well. If you throw skins of animal skins into water, a certain type of slime starts to exude forth from them. The Gemara answers, there's a difference though. Hasam, in the case of the flax seeds, ka'ovid lisha, the sticking together of flax seeds is considered a type of action known as lisha. Lisha is more commonly encountered when you're dealing with kneading dough, where you add water to flour and all the grains of flour stick together as a result of the water being added and the kneading. That's called lisha. The process of lisha is something that's apt with regard to flax seeds. However, it's inappropriate or it's irrelevant with regard to the sticking together of pieces of animal skin. Dorash Rava, mutter l'chabes minol b'shabes. Rava publicly announced that it's mutter to do kibbutz to a shoe on Shabbos. Omar le Rav Papa le Rava v'Omar Abchia bar Ashi zin sagin havekim nekamei de Rav v'shachshich le mesani b'maya shichshuch in avol kibbutz lo. But Rav Chia bar Ashi said that many times he was in front of Rav and he added water, or he placed water on Rav's shoes and rubbed off the dirt, but he didn't do kibbutz. So how can you announce that it's mutter to do kibbutz? As we saw before, the concept of kibbutz is more elaborate than merely putting water on something and rubbing off the dirt. So Rava was saying in his opening statement here that with regard to shoes, it's mutter to go all the way, so to speak. It's mutter l'chabes. The Rav Papa asked, but Rav Chia bar Ashi didn't do kibbutz to Rav's shoes. He merely did shichshuch to them. Shichshuch is a lesser profound activity whereby you simply, after applying the water, you rub off the dirt, but not kibbutz. Hodar uki Rava amoira olei v'dorash. Rava then set up his amora. The amora is the person that would say over his words in a public fashion. So he summoned the Amora again and said, "Dvarim shemati lifnechem tov zeh biyodi. That which I said before was a mistake. Bram kach omru, but rather, thusly it should be. Thusly they said, shichshuch mutter kibbutz aser. Shichshuch, the shichshuch process is allowed. However, the kibbutz method is not allowed." It can be assumed, and we have a girsa that says on the side that in the Shi'iltois, which is an early source of halachic literature, says that there's a girsa kiskus, so that we can actually assume that kibbutz that the Gemara is referring to is what we earlier described as kiskus, where you're taking two sides of the article and rubbing one on the other. So that would not be allowed. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take a look at our nosei, our topic heading on the outside margin. Mekoros deboinon mokom kadosh. Sources that you require a holy place, and a holy place we can assume will be the azora of the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash courtyard. Le, number one, kibbutz beged midam chatos, the topic we've been dealing with till now, the washing of the clothing on which a spot of sin offering blood lands. Shviras klicheres shebishlu bahem chatos, the breaking of earthenware vessels that were used for the cooking up of sin offerings, sin offering meat. And riko shtifa shoklin echoshes shebushal bochatos, and the rinsing out of the copperware vessels that were used for cooking up sin offering meat. These three things, kibus beged, shviras klicheres, and riko shtifa, require mokom kodesh. This reference to Mokom Kadosh, one could see, if you glance back at the Mishnah on Tani Gimel Beis, we had double underlined the expression Mokom Kadosh in these three different contexts. Menohani Mili, the Tanu Rabbanan. The double underline is used to highlight the point at which the different sources will be introduced. So at this point, we're going to first talk about the kibbutz. So from where do we know that kibbutz has to be b'mokom kadosh? The Tanur Rabbanan. The following source says, t'chabes b'mokom kadosh. There it says it in the pasuk itself. Shviras klicheres minayin. And you can see the double underline again used. From where do we know the Mokom Kodosh requirement for the breaking of the earthenware vessels? Tamad Lomar Ukli Cheres Asher Tevushal Boy Yishaver. This Pasuk is written, this is Pasuk Chof Aleph, which follows Pasuk Chof that mentioned Mokom Kodosh. Miko Shtifa V'Kli Nechoshes Minayin. And again, you can see the Minayin is double underlined. From where do we know that the rinsing out of the copperware vessels also has to take place by Mokom Kodosh? These are copperware vessels that were used for the cooking up of chatos meat. Tamad lomar ve'im b'kli nechoshes bushala u'moirak b'shutaf b'mayim. That's also in Pasuk Chof Aleph. Ze choymer b'chatos. Kibbutz is a stringency that one finds by a sin offering, making the sin offering a type of sacrifice having with it a chumrah, a stringency above and beyond mikodshei kodshim, other high level sanctity sacrifices. So in reading the Mishnah, it sounds like this is the only chumrah that chatos has over kodshei kodshim. Before we go ahead in the Gemara, because as you do look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a flurry of triangles flipping back and forth at a rather rapid or immediate basis. Looking at the note on the side, no same mivneh, you have a triangle with the point facing upwards, ma'akav. This represents an attempt to keep track of the discussion. And with the point facing up, there kushois al hadikotoni, derak kibusu achumra shinimsa bechatos, mashenkein shar kotshe kotshim. We are going to be asking on that which the Mishnah taught that were implied that only kibbutz was the chumrah that you find by the chatos, as opposed to other kodshei kodshim. Va'ika oid chumros b'chatos. Each time they will present additional stringencies that you find by a chatos. So why is it that the Mishnah featured only kibbutz, and with the point facing down, they are tshuvos, responses? So let's now turn to the Gemara. After citing the Mishnah that says that kibbutz is seemingly the only stringency that chatos has above other kodshei kodshim, the Gemara asks, "V'su leka, are there no others? V'alika shenichnas doma lifnim, is there not the stringency of the fact that by a korban chatos, only by a korban chatos, do you have a case of the blood having a mitzvah to bring the blood into the heichal? This is true when you're dealing with something like a chatos par helem dofer shel tzibur, or the chatos koyin mashiach, or the chatos yom kippurim, different types of chatos offerings that whose blood is brought into the heichal for sprinkling on the paroches. This process of blood being brought into the into the Heichal is not characteristic of any other kind of korban. The Gemara answers that our Mishnah is not dealing with chatois hapnimios, but rather bechatois hachitzoinis korminon. Our Mishnah is dealing with the external sin offerings. The Gemara asks, well, chitzoinis nami she'im nichnas doma lifneim sula. When you're dealing with a sin offering, an external sin offering, if you bring the blood of an external sin offering into the Heichal, that ruins the sacrifice. And that's a chumrah that applies to the chatos and not to other karbonas. The Gemara answers, well, our Mishnah that featured only kibbutz and not this halacha is Karebi Akiva, Diyamar Kol Domim Shenichnesu Leheichal Lechaper Psulim. Rabbi Kiva holds that the restriction of blood entering the Heichal, the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash, as a ruiner of a korban, applies to all korbanas that are brought in for the purpose of sprinkling. And it's a severity that applies, or stringency that applies not only to the chatos, but to other korbanas as well. The Gemara asks, well, Shekein Mechaprin al Chai Bekrisus. A korban chatos, the external korban chatos, has the power of atoning for the severe penalties, severe sins that carry with them a kores punishment. This is a unique feature to the chatos, which you don't find by other kochei kochim. So why is this not alluded to in the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, because our Mishnah is not dealing with the standard korban chatos, but rather bechatos de shmias hakol. This is a korban chatos that's brought in the event that someone denies knowing testimony under oath. Under oath, he denies knowing testimony. That, and when he actually does know the testimony, that situation does not carry with it a kores penalty. Hence, the issue of mechaper nachai v'krisus doesn't apply to the chatos de shmias kol, which is at this point the subject of our Mishnah. The Gemara asks, well, even so, shekein tuna arba matonois. The blood, the nature of the blood applications of the chatos shmias kol as well requires four separate blood applications, four separate applications of blood to the mizbeach, to the altar, which is not the case by other kochei kochim that have only two applications, where the current understanding of other kochei kochim is the blood would be splashed on two diagonal corners, diagonally opposite from one another, and the blood would splash to the four sides of the mizbeach, each corner two sides, but it's an action involving two blood applications as opposed to the chatos, which has four separate applications. The Gemara answers, well, the reason that point wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah as a chumra of chatos, because our Mishnah is Rabbi Yishmael. Our Mishnah conforms to Rabbi Yishmael that says, Diomar kol domim teunin dalid matonos. According to Rabbi Yishmael, when you're dealing with other korbanos, you may approach the two diagonally opposite corners of the Mizbeach. But when you're at each corner, you don't simply splash the blood at the edge and it flows to both sides or spreads to both sides. Rather, you make a separate application to each side as you are standing opposite the corner, so that all sacrifices, all kochei kochim, will have in total four applications, showing us that the chatos is not unique. There is a question, though. Ho'ika al dalid kronos. The difference, there still is something unique, a unique stringency that applies to the chatos, in that the chatos has a blood application to four corners of the mizbeach. The other sacrifices are not applied to the four corners, but rather to two corners that are diagonally opposite one another. So we see that the issue of Dalid Kronos would be an additional chumrah that Chatos has over other korbanos. So why did the Mishnah mention only kibbutz? as being a restriction or stringency that Chatos has, that namely that only Chatos blood necessitates kibbutz as opposed to other sacrifices. So once this question has been raised, namely that there's Dalet Kronos, well, Ulitamech, according to you who are bothered by the absence of a mentioning of Dalet Kronos, Ho'iko Karen, Ho'iko Etzba, Ho'iko Chuda, there are actually a list of other Chumras that could have been mentioned as well, and they are not mentioned. The Mishnah inciting kibbutz as a chumrah was not an exhaustive list of stringencies. It was mentioning one of two, three different possibilities that could have been mentioned. Let's just go over the last two lines again with additional explanation. We asked, well, isn't if you're bothered by the issue of Dalet Kronos, isn't there the issue of Karen? So the Rashi explains Karen is a reference to the fact that the Dam Chatos is applied to the upper half of the Mizbeach as opposed to other animal sacrifices, all of which are, their blood is applied to the lower half. So Karen is a reference to the Matnas Dam, the application of blood at the upper part of the Mizbeach. There's also the issue of the Etzba, application of the blood by smearing the blood with his finger. This is a process done only by the Chatos, not by other Kodshei Kodshim, that whose blood is applied through Zrika. Zrika is blood application done from a distance. Voika Chuda. Chuda is a situation of the process of applying the blood to the very edge of the corner, which is characteristic only of a chatos, not the other sacrifices. So we said that it's true, in fact there are other chumras that you can find by a chatos. The Mishnah decided to feature kibbutz, but not to the exclusion of other chumras that exist as well. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, let's glance at our topic heading and structural note in the outside margin, where we featured a diamond with a dashed underline. Begodim v'kelim debo'u tipul ba'azora. Till now we've seen the issue of kibbutz begodim and shviras klei cheres and rikot shtifa by klei nechoshes as requiring treatment in the azora. Ma dinam im yotsu, what is the din if they left the azora, v'nitme'u, and became tomei? Ma hatipul hadarush, what is the required treatment that's necessary? Kedei shiyeh efshel achnisam chazor al azora, kedei lechavsun ulusayk mehem adam. What is the necessary processes that it would enable us to accomplish the kibbutz or the shvira or the rikah shtifa in the azora? Me'achar shish isur lahachnis dvarim tameim lazora. There is a prohibition of bringing into the Azora things that are Tomei. So in our situation, you have these three examples of the Kibbutz Begodim, Shviras Klicheres, Mikos Shtifa by the Klei Nechoshes, that if taken out of the Azora and they become Tomei, you can't bring them back into the Azora as is, because there is, as we mentioned, the prohibition of bringing things that are Tomei into the Azora. And on the other hand, though, I have to treat these articles, each one, accordingly. How do I get them back into the Azora? So let's now turn to the Mishnah. You can see with the diamonds, we featured Beged, Klicheres, and Kli Nechoshes. The Mishnah says, Beged Shiyotzu Chutz L'Kloyim, a garment that had the blood of the Chatas that landed on it, that left the Kloyim, the Azora, Nichnas u'mechavsoi b'mokom kodesh, is to be brought back in and washed in the Azora. Nitmo chutz l'kloyim, if it became tomei outside of the Azora, and we mentioned you can't bring it into the Azora in its current state of tuma. Kor'o, you rip it. By ripping it, we understand you are thereby removing the tumah from it, because it's no longer viewed as a complete vessel, in this case a complete article of clothing. So by ripping it, you neutralize the tumah. V'nichnas u'mechabse b'mokom kodesh. Klecheres, yotze chutz l'kloim, nichnas v'shover b'mokom kodesh. The klecheres, the earthenware vessels that left the azara, bring them back in and break them in the azara. Nitma chutz l'kloim, they came tomei outside of the azara. Noikvoi, you pierce them, make a hole in them. V'nichnas v'shovro b'mokom kodesh. By making the hole in them, you are once again neutralizing or eliminating the tumah. The copperware vessels in which the chatas korbanos were cooked that left the azara, you bring them back in and do the mrika and shtifa process in the azara. Nitma chutz l'kloyim, if they became tamei outside the kloyim, pochaso is a large hole. V'nichnas u'morkum shotfu b'makom kadosh, and then after the large hole is made in them, bring them back in to the Azara and do Mrikan Shtifa. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.